Hi, it's Mike Church, founder of the Veritas Radio Network and the Crusade Channel. Maybe you didn't know this, so let me clue you in. We are a listener-owned radio enterprise, meaning we're the little guy, the underdog, a David in a stadium full of fake news Goliaths. So, in exchange for your listening to this awesome preview of one of our shows, Puddle's Pity Party, promise me you'll download our free app and use it to listen to that show when it's live. And number two, consider joining us and becoming a paying Founders Pass member by going to crusadechannel.com and clicking the join button at the top of any page. Now that's not asking too much, is it? So go ahead, relax, and enjoy the following feast of original programming exclusively here on the Crusade Channel. King Size Truth from Radio Size Speakers.
Welcome to Reverse Deception Radio today. I'd like to take some time this morning and talk a little bit about a person who was very instrumental in shaping the world you and I live in today. And it's not in a traditional manner. No, it's actually through Hollywood. Yes, that's right, through Hollywood. But this guy was not a bad guy. He was more of a good guy. He discovered acts such as Buster Keaton, Bob Hope. And you're sitting there scratching your head saying, okay, so this was a few years ago, Greg. And that's right, it was. And we're going to talk about the story of what happened to him right now. Now, it seems like there's an unwritten rule in show business. You know, those who raise the stars to glory are often overshadowed by their shine. Meaning they burn out, i.e. Marilyn Monroe. Really good example. Others rise so quickly, become a household name, they don't know how to deal with all of the attention, and it destroys them internally. And thus was such the case with our friend Roscoe. And although he managed to earn his fame during the silent film era, his name is rarely mentioned today, unlike those of his students, Hope, Keaton, and the likes. Roscoe made a huge impact in the early Hollywood scene, and for this his name should be remembered. However, it's not. He was born March 24th, 1887, in Smith Center, Kansas. He was one of nine children of Mary and William. Since the beginning of his life, things were tough for Roscoe. He was a big baby. He weighed 13 pounds at birth. All of my kids didn't weigh 13 pounds together. And as both his mother and his father were slim, his father believed that his mother had had an affair. And because of that, his father despised him for the rest of his life and gave him the nickname of a notorious politician and a Republican senator from New York, calling him Roscoe Conkling. His mother died when he was 12, and it was due to the complications he had suffered ever since his birth. His unloving father refused to give him any further support, and he was forced to do odd jobs in a hotel. Luckily, the job offered an attractive opportunity for him. Since his early childhood, Roscoe was known for his beautiful voice and very much enjoyed singing. Now think about taking a 12-year-old today and putting them on the street and telling them they had to make their way. You would be locked up, folks. But no, here's an opportunity, a 12-year-old became one of the most important people in Hollywood because he was forced into a position where he had to do something. And it was one day when he was singing and doing his job at the hotel, it was one of the customers who happened to be a professional singer overheard him and invited him to an amateur talent show to perform. The contestants were being judged by the audience that clapped and cheered the good acts, and you know, they used one of those old-time shepherd's crook, right? They take them and they put them out there and they pull the people off the stage, right? Drag them away while they're still trying to perform and people are booing and throwing vegetables at them and things like that. Well, Roscoe prepared an act in which he sang, danced, and clowned around. But the audience didn't like it so much. And when he saw the crook coming his way, he panicked and rolled into the orchestra pit to avoid it. When the audience saw this as part of his act, they immediately went wild. He won the competition. And this is how his vaudeville career began. He started doing vaudeville shows around the country for several years. He toured Japan, China, even beautiful downtown Burbank, California. But he also played many places in the States. And it was in 1909 that he began his movie career. His first appearance was on the screen in Selig Polyscope Company's movie called Ben's Kid. After that, he appeared in other Selig one-reelers until 1913 when he moved to Universal and became a star in production director of the Keystone Cops.